Hey everyone, welcome back to PS I'm Single. It's your girl Trish. I am finally back from break. I missed you guys and I hope you missed me too. I have a treat for you guys today. It's really for me, but I'm going to share it with you guys. Today's episode is Sex Ed 101, and I have Lisa Finn joining me here today. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. Now, Lisa, where do you work?
So I work at Babeland. So for anybody listening and that doesn't know what Babeland is, Babeland is a fun and friendly feminist sex toy shop, but we don't only focus on the physical tools, i.e. sex toys, to help enhance your sex life, but also the information. Any Babeland location that you walk into, it's all trained sex educators. We host free classes and seminars so that folks can really feel empowered to ask questions.
All right. Now, you're a sex educator, correct?
Yes, I am.
How do you become a sex educator? I feel like everyone thinks that they're qualified to be a sex educator just because they're having sex, but I'm pretty sure there is a process. What's the process?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you can be a sex educator of your own life, okay, but it's really that moment of understanding that everybody has sex differently.
True.
And becoming an educator, you really need to delve in a little bit deeper than just the idea of, okay, what is sex as I think about it. So at Babeland, any of the trained sex educators, they need to learn about anatomy and physiology. So like your actual bits, your genitals, your erogenous zones,
right. Why
they respond the way that they do. Everything from learning about erectile tissue, the similarities and differences with erectile tissue and penises and vulvas, learning about the way that the body responds to different stimulation, things like vibration. Past that, for us specifically, we need to learn about all of the products, how to safely use them, things like materials, allergies, even understanding like how each motor is different so that we can better help the people that come into the store.
I would say, you know, I'm shy, but I'm not shy. I hope my mom's not listening to this episode. But I have had instances where, well, an instance where I have purchased a toy and the material that was used to make it didn't really work with me. So I had to get rid of it. So you guys teach people or show people what products and what ingredients are used for the products?
Yeah, absolutely. We see this a lot with lubricant.
Okay.
People coming in and they're just like, oh, I'm just going to grab whatever bottle off the shelf. But you want to keep in mind a couple of things like, are you sensitive? If you're a person with a vulva, are you more apt to getting yeast infections or BV or anything like that? So you want to look at the ingredients in your lubricant instead of just grabbing the thing with the prettiest label
or the cheapest one.
Exactly. Oh yeah. Especially keeping in mind if you're shopping at like a drugstore or something for lubricant, like they've got like parabens and glycerin and all this stuff in it that could potentially harm your body. For some folks, it's like, oh, this is fine. Just like some folks can eat like fast food every single day and it never like bothers their stomach.
Right.
You know, people have different sensitivities and learning a little bit more about what you're using is super important. So being able to give that information to someone.
Yeah, especially when you're using it on your private parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to be cheap.
Oh, yeah.
So what is your client base?
We have basically everybody. If you're over the age of 18, because you cannot shop at any Babeland location or any sex toy shop for that matter if you are under the age of 18. Mm-hmm. But we get folks of all different genders, all different sexualities. We had a wonderful woman in the store last week that came in and very proudly announced as soon as she walked in the door, I am 75 years old and
what?
I need a new vibrator.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. If my grandmother comes to me and asks me to take her to Babeland for a vibrator, grandma, no, you're fired.
Hey, listen, people still, want to access their pleasure and
75?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
that's probably going to be me.
Yeah, it's like we judge, we laugh, but let's be real about this. If I was 75, you know, I'm retired. I'm hanging out at home.
Right.
It gets boring just watching Netflix all the time. You got to spice it up a little bit.
Especially if you're not married or mm-hmm. even if, you know what? I think that's, now that I say that, I feel like that's a common misconception that only single people use toys.
Oh my gosh, that we get that all the time. You know, there's this misconception that toys are for single people that are lonely or that, you know, toys are meant to replace a partner. But mm-hmm. here's the reality is that your vibrator isn't going to buy you dinner.
Nope.
You know, your vibrator isn't a partner. And sex toys don't necessarily have to be for people that aren't getting it. You know, you can use a sex toy with a partner. Mm-hmm. You can use a sex toy by yourself when you're in a sexually fulfilling relationship. Sometimes you just want to get off, you
right.
know? And sex toys do things that humans can't, like vibrate. We cannot physically do things like vibrate.
Right.
So it's just bringing in a whole nother sensation. But it doesn't just have to be for folks that are on their own.
So you encourage toys in the bedroom.
Oh, absolutely. I like to think of sex toys as tools. And a lot of the times I'll describe this as picture your sex life like a delicious sundae. And sex toys like exciting toppings that you're putting on top of that. Like okay. the ice cream is good by itself, but maybe tonight you want sprinkles.
Oh, like the cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a good way of thinking of it. I feel like there are, and I'm gonna say, you know, I'm open now, but I was the prude. Like when I tell you, I remember in college, my roommate asking me, you know, Trish, would you ever buy a toy? And I'm like, absolutely not. She's like, why? I'm like, because I feel like Jesus is watching me. You know,
that's so real.
It's like shame, almost like shame. You don't want to admit that you have it, need it, or want to use it. But once I got comfortable enough with myself, you know, I was like, all right, let me see how this works. And my first one was actually a gift from a friend of mine. And it sat in that box forever till it started to dust. And one day, you know, I just cleaned it off and it was a little bullet. And I used it and I was like, wow, okay. You know, and then once I started using it a little more often, I started to get more comfortable with it. And I was open to making other purchases for other things. So I feel like once you're comfortable with yourself, I think it's okay. It's all right to walk into a Babeland store and buy something.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the other thing is that, you know, you were talking about that shame. People still feel that shame around pleasure.
Yeah.
And it's hard because there's also, you know, you have an idea of what these things look like. We still have folks that walk into the store and they're surprised that it's well lit and it's clean and
right.
it's colorful. And, you know, we've got like a bunch of young staff of all different genders just like walking around smiling because we're happy to be there.
Right.
You know, they're... It used to be that sex toy shops, they'd be like in the back of the video rental
mm-hmm.
store. You go through the beaded curtain.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody like hiding in a trench coat. And
not a trench
it
coat.
Just like this idea of, oh, you need to hide to be here. We throw like happy hours and stuff. Like we're chilling with champagne, like just
what?
Hanging out, having a good time, trying to normalize the space and the conversation.
When is your next happy hour? Because I'm trying to pull up to that happy.
Oh, man. I don't know off the top of my head. But
okay.
If you go to the Babeland NYC Eventbrite.
Yes.
That has all of our upcoming New York classes. And if anybody's on the West Coast, if you're over by Seattle, we got one over there, too.
All right. Now, I have this question of who seems to purchase more toys or who's more open to using toys, men or women. What would you say?
Huh. I'm going to have to two-part that question because you said
okay.
who's purchasing more toys. We see a lot of men or masculine presenting people coming in and getting toys for their partners
okay.
as gifts, especially around Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Valentine's Day is like... You ever go into a Best Buy on Black Friday, that is a sex toy shop on Valentine's Day.
Really?
Uh-huh. It is wild. But we get a lot of folks that are buying presents for their partners. But I don't know. I'd say most of our demographic is female identified, usually like 20s, 30s, just because when we think about the conversation and who the conversation's happening with,
right,
it seems as though femme-identified folks in their 20s, 30s are having this conversation a little bit more. You know, you open up a Cosmo magazine or you go on to like bustle.com or something like that, and you're going to see things about sex toys. You know, you open up a GQ or you're watching something that's targeted towards men's audiences, you're not going to really see that conversation happening
not,
as much.
Not at all.
But ironically enough, you know, we talk about who gets to take control of their pleasure. And I find that it's a lot of the times men that are afraid of the idea of sex toys.
Yeah.
Again, because of that idea of like, does that mean I'm not doing something right? Does that mean I'm not pleasing my partner? Or this idea that it's like, okay, well, if I want a jacket, I have my hand.
Right. I feel like men, they it takes a hit to their ego in most men if a woman presents the idea of using a toy in the bedroom. Because like you said, it's almost like, am I not doing something right? Why do you need a toy if I'm there?
Mm-hmm.
But there are sex toys for men, and you pull something out and I'm like, is that a Yogi egg?
The egg, yeah.
And, but then she said it's a dick egg.
Yeah.
What exactly does this do?
So, okay. So what I have here, it's called a Tenga egg. So T-E-N-G-A. And essentially, have you ever heard of the Fleshlight?
No. What's the Flesh? Okay. Is that a sex toy?
Yeah. So it's the Fleshlight is, it looks like a flashlight, but like an old school flashlight. So it's pretty big.
Okay.
And when you open it up, it has what looks like a silicone vulva on top so that someone with a penis can use it to masturbate by putting their penis inside of it and essentially like fucking this thing.
Okay.
And it's supposed to feel like you're inside a vagina or a butthole. So this is like the sort of like the travel version of that. So it is a piece of TPE silicone. So that's just, it's a soft, like almost like skin textured material. You want to feel it. And then the inside, if you want to feel the inside, it's got texture on it. So what you do is you put some lube in there and then you stroke it up and down the shaft of a penis. So all those textures and stuff will hit the penis as you're going up and down with a hand. Yeah. So it's adding all those different textures and sensations so that it's a little bit of something different. Some folks also like to focus on the head of the penis with this and just put it around the head and like twist it. Yeah. Because the tip of the penis is where all those like delicious nerve endings live. The tip is like really where they're all concentrated. I like to talk about the similarities between bodies. So on folks with a penis, the head of the penis is very much so similar to the head of the clitoris, which is the little bit that sticks out at the top of the vulva. So thinking about like that concentration of nerve endings at the head of the clit, think about that on the head of the penis. So those textures will feel really nice.
That is a Tenga egg?
Yep, Tenga egg.
Yep. Fellas, now, I just felt it, right? It actually feels really good. It's all soft and stuff. I need you to go out there and purchase that. Buy the lube, but not the cheap lube, you know.
It comes with lube inside.
It already comes with lube?
Yeah, it comes with a little packet of lube inside.
So it's like a full package.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, so it's like a travel toy. So these run for like $10 or under.
Oh, that's not bad.
But they are disposable. So like you don't want to keep this for like more than 10 sessions because it's going to start getting a little not so nice.
So you can't, you would wash it after you use it.
Yeah, but after like, usually the on the reviews that we get, like after the fifth time, it's like, all right, it's time to throw this out.
That's
but
it.
Like for $10, yeah,
that's not bad. If you want a business trip for a couple of days, fellas, I'm saying the lady's not there with you, but she's there with you.
Get some sexting going,
right?
Full circle.
Okay, now that you described the flashlight, I know what the flashlight is. I've seen it before. I didn't know it was called a flashlight, though.
Oh, a fleshlight. Yeah.
Oh, fleshlight.
It's like a pun.
Look at that. I don't know much about male sex toys. My idea of a male sex toy is like a cock ring.
Oh, yeah.
Is that more pleasurable for the man or the female?
So it depends. So I have a vibrating cock ring with me here.
Oh, look. See, I didn't even know you had one.
Listen, I came prepared. I am constantly walking around the city with a bag full of display sex toys. I'm like waiting for the day that I get stopped getting into the subway. Oh, and it's like, ma'am, can I see inside your bag?
Listen.
And it's like, oh, well, you can.
Let's see this.
So, cock rings.
Yes.
Do you know what the purpose of just like a cock ring is?
Would it be to keep it stiffer?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Look, I got it.
So,
ding, ding, ding.
So the way that boners work is that there is no actual bone in a boner. It's not muscle. It's all blood flow.
Okay.
So the way that erections work is that blood flow will rush into the area, and then by putting on a cock ring towards the base of the shaft,
yes,
it's going to restrict blood flow out of the shaft of the penis, but it's not going to restrict blood flow in. So
okay.
Blood flow can come into the shaft, but it's not going to leave, which is going to leave you with a harder, stronger erection.
Mm.
So with that too, because there's more blood trapped in around those nerve endings,
yes,
you're going to have a little bit more sensitivity as well.
It's
so everything's going to feel a little bit heightened. And then this one specifically has a vibrator on it.
Okay.
So that vibrator is for everybody involved. So the penis that's wearing it is going to feel vibration.
Yes.
If they are penetrating anybody, they're going to feel that vibration. This shape comes up a little bit. So if it's a person with a clit, the clit can sort of like bop against the vibrator.
Okay.
When you come down on the shaft. So this is silicone.
Is this comfortable though?
Mm-hmm. So it's super stretchy. And you also, you want it to be a little bit tight because that's what's keeping the blood in. Our cock rings, we have all different ones, but something like this silicone, if you were like, that's not going to fit, I'm a little bit too girthy, you can stretch it out and put it over a water bottle. And it'll slowly stretch out the silicones that will fit you a little bit less snug.
Okay.
But I'd always say measure by fingers. Like, this is about, like, 3 fingers standard, and it can stretch up to 4. So, like, keeping that in mind when you're, like, because if you know your dick size or your partner's dick size, it's a lot easier to guesstimate it by, like, hands rather than, like, oh, well, you know, I know that my partner is about 2 inches in diameter, you know. It's a little bit easier to figure that out by like, oh, I understand how this fits. I actually once had someone measure whether or not a cock ring was going to fit their partner by going in front of a mirror and holding it in front of their open mouth.
What?
Like, they were just like posing with it like, oh, I know how far my jaw goes down when
really?
They're in my mouth. So I'm going to use that to measure how big this should be. It was great.
We not
props
out there
to
doing
that person.
I would be embarrassed to be.
Hey, listen, you got to do what you got to do.
Damn, like, let me see the display. My mouth normally opens this wide, so let me put it up to see. Wow, I wonder if it actually fit. So, what are some of the most frequent questions that you get from the clients?
Well, our number one question is, I have no idea where to start.
Really?
We get people that come in and we have hundreds of toys. So people get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They're just like, I didn't know the difference between a dildo and a vibrator. And why is this one shaped like this?
Right.
Or, you know, what does this ridge do? What does this button do? So showing people different shapes and what those different shapes do helps sort of break everything down into categories.
Okay.
Also, when we have couples coming in together, asking them, like, you know, what are you interested in doing? Talking to one another before coming into the store is also super helpful, too.
Right.
If you have any fantasies and it's like, oh, we're going into a sex toy shop. We want to buy a sex toy. Well, does that sex toy mean you want a blindfold? Or
right.
Does that sex toy mean that you want the restraints that go under the bed or the butt plug that has 17 settings? Like, there are so many different toys that sort of having an idea of what you're looking for. Now, if you came and you said, I have no idea what I'm looking for.
Right.
Just show me something. And then I were to go over and grab a leather flogger and you're like, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I need something to go off of.
Right.
most of the time, it's folks looking for their first vibrator. With folks that have a vulva, like, tell me, are you looking for something external or internal? And by that, I mean, are you looking for something just for the clit?
Right.
Or do you want something that you can penetrate yourself with? If you're looking for both, maybe you want like a rabbit style vibe that has the piece that goes against the clitoris while there's a piece that goes inside you.
Right.
Sort of having an idea of what feels good to you. And then translating that into, well, I like it when, you know, I really like it when my partner goes down on me. I like the sensation of oral sex.
Right.
Or I really don't like deep penetration. I do not handle large. Or I really want deep penetration. I want something thick and girthy.
Oh, my God.
Being able to, like, say that to sort of help us out.
Now, I say that because in college, it was a friend of mine. Someone bought her a birthday gift, and we called it Chocolate Thunder. When she pulled that thing out of the package, I was like, how? Like, how is this fitting inside of you? Like, how would that be pleasurable? So there really are people out there. I thought it was maybe like a gag gift, but are there people really buying those huge, girthy dildos?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, the dildos that are like really big, like, yeah, not many people would naturally have that anatomy kind of big.
Right.
Those are often used as like fisting dildos.
Wow.
So there are a lot of folks that are into the act of fisting, which, right, is what it sounds like. It's having an entire fist inside your body. You know, our muscles can really expand and contract a lot.
Yeah.
And that's true of the vagina as well as the butt. And for some people, that sense of fullness, you know, you're hitting all those delicious spots like the G-spot or the prostate. And then vaginally, if you go deeper up behind the cervix, there's a spot called the anterior fornix.
What?
And it's also referred to as the A spot.
Okay.
And for some people, hitting that spot is super, super pleasurable. So if you're a person that likes deep penetration and you like that feeling where it's almost like you can feel your partner or your toy like hitting all the way up, then you probably like having your A spot stimulated.
That's what it's called? The, mm-hmm, A spot?
The A spot. So that's anterior fornix.
Wow. I thought you was tilting my uterus. I didn't know that was the
Yeah.
Right. I did not know that was the Wow.
Yep.
Okay. So there's a G spot and an A spot. See, I'm learning. This,
yep,
is for me and for you. We're all learning today. So what would you say is the best selling toy amongst your male customers?
So penis toys specifically, the Tenga eggs are super, super popular.
Okay.
And just, I'd just say vibrating cock rings in general.
Okay.
Just because they could be used in such a variety of different ways. You know, you can hold a vibrating cock ring in your hand and use it as a vibrator to touch your partner or touch yourself anywhere externally. Remembering that vibration doesn't have to necessarily go on the genitals.
Right.
Like, you can use a vibrator against your nipples or your earlobe or your lips. Like, anywhere on your body that's an erogenous zone, you can use a vibrator against it.
Mm.
So I would say for folks with penises, definitely the Tenga eggs and a cock ring.
And what about the females?
So for folks with vulvas, bullet style vibrators are
That's
really popular.
That's what I'm saying. Because,
mm-hmm,
it has the power.
Exactly. Yeah. It's tiny. It's compact. You know, having something that's small and discreet makes people a little bit more comfortable about the idea of vibration. Our best-selling toy, actually, and it has been our best-selling toy since 1993 when we opened,
damn,
is the Magic Wand Vibrator.
Look, I'm writing this down.
And that one is not discreet whatsoever.
It's loud?
Oh, yeah. So the original, it's the design is from the late 1960s.
Oh, no. No.
But here's what's up. It's been upgraded,
okay,
but it is a powerhouse. The handle on it is about a foot. It is just hailed as, we call it the Cadillac of vibrators. Time magazine had it on the top 10 most influential gadgets of all time. Gadgets.
Really?
It ranked higher than the iPod.
What?
Yeah. If anybody's ever watched Sex and the City, there's an episode where one of the characters is just like using her magic wand all day. If you look it up, I guarantee that you'll be like, oh, I've seen this thing. But that one's our most popular one. And it's just an external vibrator. You know, it was designed as a back massager. Someone got their hands on it and was like, let me try this elsewhere. Betty Dodson, who was this famous feminist sex educator, Betty Dodson is still alive and well, went ahead and started giving it to her friends that were having trouble reaching orgasm, mainly because they were like, why can't I get off by penetrative sex? Hint, it's the clit. Touch the clit. Always touch the clit. So folks were using these and it just became a cult classic.
Really?
Yeah.
Look, I wrote it down because I'm gonna have to come to the store and see and see how loud it really is.
If yeah, if the original is super loud, the new one, the rechargeable, is it's not if your roommate is in the same room quiet, but okay. It's like a, you know, people in the kitchen won't hear you in the bedroom.
Okay. So I have a question because I've heard this before and I've heard this from males. Vibrators desensitize the clitoris for women.
Nope. So they can, like, in the moment, like, if you're using something super, super powerful right. and you're just holding it on the body, it's that body part's going to go numb. It's just like with any body part. If I were to take a super powerful vibrator and I were to hold it against your arm for an hour, your arm's going to feel numb. That's right. just how nerve endings work. But it doesn't mean that now you can never use your arm again. And it doesn't mean that, you know, now that I've felt this super, super strong sensation, that nothing else is ever going to feel good again. No, the nerve endings are still there. They still work. In fact, if you're lighting up these nerve endings more often, they're actually going to become more in tune with it.
Okay.
So, like, masturbating more can actually help you become more sensitive and get a better idea of like how your body wants to be touched so that really? You can enhance your orgasm. It just really depends on how you do it. But in order to do like lasting nerve damage by using a vibrator, you would have to use like a power tool style vibrator on your clit for like half the day, every day.
Oh no. At that point you're addicted and you need yeah. to seek help.
Mm-hmm.
So what topics do Babe Bland sex educators teach at these seminars?
Really anything. We have classes on BDSM. We have classes on spanking. We have rope bondage classes. We have classes on dirty talk and sexting. Sorry.
Really?
We have classes on blowjobs. We have classes on eating pussy.
Is that a demonstrative class?
Sort of. We have bananas.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but then the banana gets a little soft.
Well, you don't want to be like chewing on your banana. Right. If your partner's into that, that's dope. But on the banana, be gentle just to sort of learn what you're doing. But yeah, we actually have a class and it is a 2-hour class on blowjobs.
What?
We sell out almost every time we host it. This is a class that we've been doing for years and years and years. You know, we always change it up when we learn something new or new techniques. We get feedback. You know, some things are tried and true, though. We have hand techniques, mouth techniques. We go over the anatomy of the penis, where different hot spots are on the penis. Because a lot of folks think like, oh, the penis, it's one giant, like, here's all the nerves. This all feels good.
Right.
But they're actually like hot spots on the penis that like will be more sensitive than other areas. Different ways to stimulate those areas. Fun ways to move your tongue, mouth shapes, all of that.
I'm one of those people that is like, it's just one big thing just sitting there. And like, I might need to go take that class.
It's also a lot of fun regardless. Because like, I feel that very often people come into that class and they're so serious about it. They're like, okay, I'm going to take this blowjob class. I'm going to sit down with my notepad.
Yep.
I'm going to learn everything.
Yep.
I'm going to go home. I'm going to give my partner the most amazing blowjob ever. This is how I conquer the world. And then like a half an hour later, here you are in a room with 30 strangers just sucking on bananas. Oh. And everyone's just laughing and having a great time. And all of our educators, I don't know what it is, but everyone's like a comedian. It's great. Like, I have never felt so at ease while watching my coworker deep throat a banana.
Oh, man.
You know, we just really try to make the environment like we're here to have a good time.
Yep.
And we like to take the word job out of blowjob. Like, it shouldn't feel like a task. It should be something fun for the giver and the receiver.
Now, see, all right, I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Now, what if as a giver, you don't like to give?
Don't do it.
What's going to make me like it?
Just don't do it. If you hate it, don't do it. If it's like, there is nothing about this that is pleasurable to me, I am not enjoying this experience one bit, you don't have to do it. There are other things that you can do. Break out one of those Tanga eggs and have a really good hand job session, or find other ways to stimulate your partner. A lot of people don't like blowjobs because they don't like a specific sensation. A lot of times it's the idea of gagging.
Right.
We get a lot of folks that are like, I absolutely hate gagging, or my partner's really big and I don't know if I can handle it all. And there are definitely hacks, you know, this little Tanga egg. You can snip off the tip and then use it at the base.
Okay.
While you're moving in conjunction with your mouth.
Oh.
So it feels like one big seamless deep throat sensation.
Oh.
You know, you can incorporate toys. People think that you can't use hands during a blowjob. Use your hands. You know, add in those different textures. Find what it is that you don't like about blowjobs. Target that idea and see if there's a way that you can hack it. If not, maybe blowjobs just aren't a thing that you and your partner do. Find something else.
Yeah, maybe it's just not for you.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine. I'm not going to say no names because she'll probably kill me. she loves it. She's just like, you know, just to be explicit, because this is our show and this is how we talk. But she was just like, I like sucking dick.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I like sucking dick. I'm like, what do you like about it? And she's just like, just to see how much she's pleasuring him with his toes curling and everything. She's like, she gets excited from watching his reaction to her doing it.
That's how it should be, you know, any sort of sexual act, not just blowjobs, not even just, you know, any act where it's like there's a giver and a receiver, that sort of idea of, and I'm doing giant air quotes here, listeners, one-sided.
Right.
It should never be one-sided. It should always be, we're both enjoying this together, whether it's I get off at the idea of you getting off, or just this is really hot, or I'm taking control right now. Sort of like a dominant submissive sort of power play. Like,
right.
I'm in control. Sit down. I may be the one on my knees, but I'm the one making you scream.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's what
having
she
that
likes.
Go.
I think that's what she likes about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tanga egg and the fleshlight simulate anal and vaginal. And oral, maybe?
Ish. I mean, again, toys don't necessarily replace bodies, but I mean, that silicone, they make it really feel like skin.
It really
and
does.
And with some lube, especially if you like warm up the lube before you use it, it can really feel akin to a body.
So,
What
about for the females in terms of toy that simulates oral for a female?
So I actually have one right
here. Oh, she brought some. Look.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
Okay, so disclaimer on this toy. It is called the Womanizer. That is the worst possible name for a toy.
Yeah.
Womanizer, if you're listening, you know that I love you. Yeah, I get Britney Spears stuck in my head, and I'm just like, anyway. So when this toy first came out, they were like, it's called the Womanizer. It uses pleasure air technology. And we were all just like, the hell does that mean? And if I may share, we were a bunch of us were comped one of these.
Okay.
I was one of those people. And I was like, what? This looks like it looks like the thing at the doctor's office where they shine the light into your ear.
You're right. I was trying.
And I was like, so I use this. All right, let's give it a go. Holy crap.
Really?
It's so good.
No.
It's so when they did the beta testing for these, I think it was like something over like 80% of people that used it had an orgasm. And like of that 80%, a super high percentage had it in under 90 seconds. And of that percentage, another percentage had like multiple orgasms. And I get it.
What?
Because this is what we would call a pinpoint stimulation.
Okay.
This little like a I guess like octopus tentacle looking thing, suctions over the head of the clitoris.
Okay.
So you put some lubricant on there and it just goes over the head of the clitoris, and then it uses air to sort of pulsate and suck at the clit. Now, we were talking about erectile tissue before with a penis.
Right.
The clit, made up of the same sort of erectile tissue. So it's pulling blood flow into the head of the clit, making it more sensitive. So if I can borrow your thumb, keep in mind that the skin on your thumb is a lot different than the skin on your clitoris,
yes.
But go ahead and feel. So it's going to just sort of like latch on and just have that sensation. And it's just going to be dragging that air up.
Yes, like
mm-hmm. Just after a while, it will just, for most folks, just lead them straight to orgasm. A lot of folks also will use this. Listeners, she just got pushed out of the way so that she could feel how the suction works. But yeah, so you can either use this as a way to get off,
right.
Or you can use it as an arousal tool, because again, it's pulling that blood flow up to the area. So it's like getting everything going. All those nerve
right.
endings are let up. Yeah. So, that's definitely great. And I like this one specifically. So this is the Womanizer Classic, because this handle is really nice if you want to use it during penetrative sex and just have this against the clitoris, and there's not going to be anything in the way of the vaginal opening. Mm-hmm. So you get a little bit of something everywhere. You get a little internal, a little external. Feels really good. You can also use this against the frenulum on a penis. Now, I know that's not a very sexy word,
right.
But it's a really great hot spot, and I did not travel with my dildo today. I usually have an anatomical dildo that I like show toys against, but that was the one thing that I didn't hurl into my bag. But if you could, I'm going to make like a little dick with my hands right now. So listen, I have tiny hands. So at the head of the penis, there's the corona, which is the ridge where the head meets the shaft. If anybody speaks Spanish or drinks beer, corona, crown, so where the head meets the shaft. Underneath is a bit of webbing. So on the underside of the shaft where the head meets the shaft is a little bit of webbing. That's called the frenulum. And the frenulum is where the most nerve endings are on a penis. For some people, you know how sometimes the head of the dick, it has like that sort of like, it peaks underneath,
yeah.
Like it comes up to a little peak. That peak is where the frenulum is. And the frenulum is there whether or not the person is circumcised. So if they aren't circumcised, though, you want to be a little bit careful with the frenulum, because the foreskin covers it so much,
right.
It could be super, super sensitive. And something like this can feel a little bit too intense. But using something like this, or really focusing on that frenulum, that's going to be a really good hotspot. We actually have a trick called texting fingers, and I'm going to use this toy, even though it's sort of dick shaped, it's fine, where you wrap your hands around the penis,
okay.
And then using your thumbs underneath the penis, you're just going to go ahead and rub your thumbs like you're sending a sexy little text message, and that's going to stimulate the frenulum. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, hot tips.
What you call that again? The texting?
Texting fingers.
The texting fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm learning. Naisha, you taking notes? Look, for my future husband, don't forget, P.S., I'm still single. And during this break, I did not find me a man. I'm still single, and now I know how to do the texting fingers. So, fellas, DM me. I like that. How much does that run?
So, this one, they're a bunch of different versions of it. So Womanizer and Satisfyer are the two most popular brands for it. And there's a travel one that's $50, and then there's like the premium, which is like $250.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So you got a range there for sure.
That $250, that sounds like a Con Ed bill or something, or like a cable bill. That's really expensive.
Well, we used to have one that was encrusted in Swarovski crystals. That one sold, though, and that one was, I believe, $875.
Who came there and bought that?
We get some people that throw down money. I have seen someone purchase a $2,900 solid gold butt plug.
Why? What? Why?
Okay, if you had that kind of money, you telling me you would not get a piece
Absolutely
of solid
not.
Gold?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Why does it need to be
it's
solid
me,
gold?
Then.
It's gold in my butt.
Just to say, just casually drop $3,000 on a solid gold
to
butt plug.
To show your guests. Look, hey, by the way, I bought this butt plug. Not solid gold, though. All right. So I have one last question for you. How do you feel about the actual sex toys that they have made like people?
Oh, like the robots,
robots, yeah, the
AI
robots.
I personally have some complicated feelings about that. Just for me personally, I believe that robot overlords are coming. So I may not be the best person to ask this. I'm just, you know, I watch way too much Westworld. I'm like Evan Rachel Wood.
The robots are going to take over.
You know, when it comes to sex toys, everybody's into something different, right?
Yes.
And as long as everyone is participating in that activity in a way that is consensual,
yes,
and in a way that is safe and broad gestured hands on safe, because I mean, there is some kink that is not safe for the purpose of sexual play.
Right.
That's a whole nother, we'd need like 3 more hours to go over that. But you know, as long as everyone involved is having a good time and it is consensual and everyone there is there to do what they want to do, if
yes,
someone wants to have sex with an inanimate object, they can do that as long as, you know, it's theirs and they're properly cleaning it.
Well, yeah, and then the robot can't consent. But I have seen things where people are like marrying these robots.
Like, oh yeah. I've heard about that. To be fair, I'm also the person that watches the TLC shows where somebody like married a roller coaster. And you know, if it makes you happy and it's not hurting anybody else, you do you.
Somebody married a roller coaster.
Yeah.
I'm watching the wrong shows. I'm watching the wrong shows. The robot thing, it seems a little creepy because when you look at them, they're like, they look just like a human being. Like, it's creepy to me because it's like we're gonna replace each other with a robot partner.
But again I don't think that that is going to happen just because emotional connection, you know.
Well, yeah, that too. You need that emotion. So the toys and the robots, they do not replace the emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, the toys will not buy you dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They will also not pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to get out and find yourself a real partner, but add toys in to spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're just like, I don't feel like dealing with other people right now, but I want to get off, there you go. You have your toy. You have that tool to pleasure.
There you go. Just don't miss work, school,
yeah,
or any important events. And again, you work at Babeland.
Mm-hmm.
So, you guys have an Instagram page?
We do. We're at Babeland_toys. And we are also at Babeland_toys on Twitter. And if you are in the city, we've got shops in Soho and on the Lower East Side. And then we have one in Park Slope over by the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. And then we've got our flagship store out in Seattle. So West Coast, what's up? And online everywhere.
All right. Well, go ahead and check them out. And I'm going to say that Lisa was amazing and she brought a little gift for a giveaway. So go to our Instagram page at PS I'm Single and Twitter at PS I'm Single and wait for us to drop the details for the giveaway. Trust me, you're going to want this. Thanks for coming, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.